Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Oh, good. Good. And then I guess in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, it is the Oscars special. That's right. It's that award show that we talk about every year, whether Brandon wants to or not, on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yes. Apathetic Enthusiasm, our annual Oscar show, where we will
hooray for Hollywood. Do, that's the only words of that song that I know, and it's gonna go do. Anyway,
and it's Oscars and Hollywood goes and Hollywood in the sign.
That's right. Hello everybody, I'm Travis.
Hey everybody, I'm Brandon, and yes, welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. This is our annual Oscars show, and by annual Oscars show I mean we'll talk about it for, you know, not as long as we normally do, but
at least 5 minutes.
But we have to talk about it a little bit.
Gotta talk a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
It wouldn't be Apathetic Enthusiasm if we didn't talk about it.
But before we do that, Travis, I know that you know this. I know that I know this. There are some little bits of housekeeping that we've got to knock out. And yeah, and I want to ask you to do the honors this time. I'll get you started.
Okay.
Let's start with Twitter. And it's Apathusiast. Ooh. @Apathusiast. I'll just give you a little taste, and then I'll let you
take
it away.
I'm @Togomino. You're @ Barnyard Cruise. Uh-huh. Twitter is dying. See you there. Also, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. You can send us emails with your thoughts at apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. We're on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. Our website is and will always be, for as long as we pay for hosting, apatheticenthusiasm.com. We are streaming live right now, every Monday, except when we don't do Mondays, over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. If you missed the live stream, you can check out video versions of the episodes over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And finally, a big thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where we're dropping some additional content to include some post-show content that we're adding in over there. So thanks to everybody that supports the show at patreon.com. And that is the housekeeping. That is all there is to it. It's very simple. We're back on Mondays. It is the night after the 95th Academy Awards, as well as the night after the finale of The Last of Us, and two nights after Daylight Savings Time. If you are not in the United States, Daylight Savings Time is this thing that we do because we're insane. Yeah. And so if Brandon or myself are in any sort of altered state during this podcast, if anything that we say does not make sense, it's because we're sleep deprived and our circadian rhythms are off. I don't know. Is that right? Is that a word?
Yeah. A cicada, you know,
cicada. They bury themselves in the ground.
Cricket rhythms.
I got rhythm. I got cricket.
Yeah. Daylight saving time, which, you know, it's one of those. Let's just talk about that real quick. For years and years and years, we all incorrectly said daylight savings time. And it's not savings. It's saving a singular, which
it's only one time is saved. One hour.
Yeah, that's not. And that's not me criticizing you, right?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Because we
say a lot of things wrong on this podcast.
we say a lot of things wrong a lot of times. But it's one of those things where some people. They get mad about it. One, they don't like that DST is a thing. Two, Fair. They don't like that people say it wrong when they do say it. And then three, some people were like ET and PT and PST and EST. Like those are different time zones. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a small thing, but I guess it's like supposedly, which the real word is supposedly. It's not supposably. They'll be wrong about those things.
They take it for granted.
Anyways, I don't know what the point of that was other than to say, yes, I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning.
Okay.
My 11-year-old was up at 3 a.m. this morning. My wife was up at 3 a.m. this morning. I got up. I went back to sleep. The kid stayed up all morning. And then he took a nap on the way to the dentist.
Like they stayed up till 3 a.m. or they woke up from a gentle slumber at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's second awful.
One. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I went.
Do they usually get up at 4 a.m.? Like what?
I don't know. I don't know
that,
what.
That just seems really weird.
I don't know why our grasshopper rhythm got us up so early.
Yeah, I call it the Jiminy Cricket effect. And I did not set myself up for success with daylight saving time at all. Because Saturday night when we actually set the clocks spring forward, we watched a movie, a very current, very important film in the chronology of film, Scream 4. We watched that Saturday night. And then after that was over, Saturday Night Live was on with the girl from Wednesday.
Jenna Ortega.
Ortega?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that was just ending after our movie. But on Peacock, I went back and like started from the beginning. Very funny episode of SNL, by the way. And the Waffle House sketch, if you've not watched the Waffle House sketch, go look that up on YouTube. And I thought update was just great. But anyway, I'm up to like 2 a.m. almost. And then we're setting clocks forward. But I get plenty of sleep on Sunday morning. It's not a problem, right? I ran on Saturday, so I got the day off on Sunday. No big deal. Then I watched the Oscars, and then I watched Last of Us. And then all my kids are on spring break, and so they're like, we're never going to sleep. And I'm like, I have to get up and go to work in the morning. Needless to say, I got a less than optimal night's sleep last night.
Yeah, that's fair. I didn't have the same situation. I started getting sick like Thursday night going into Friday. And then
if it's COVID, Paxlovid.
And then Saturday and then Sunday, and I'm still trying to recover. And, you know, like it's one of those things where you wake up from a nap, like a very long nap or a very long night sleep.
Yeah. Or a coma.
And you wake up and you're like, that's so good. I feel better now. Right. And you start moving around, you start doing some things, you're moving around the house, I'll do some chores. I'll go, you know, I'll do something on the computer, play some games. And then
repaint the curb outside of my house.
Yeah. Move a camper into my driveway because my parents' camper rental storage place, they sold the comp. So they needed someplace to put all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, you hit a wall. We're like, oh, you know what? Nope. Body. You're not
just kidding. You are not better.
You are not better. As a matter of fact, you were using the energy you needed to save to get better, and now it's going to take you longer
on household chores. but good news, that curb's finally painted. Hopefully you're recovering well. I had every intention after getting off work, after going for a run, to come home and power through so that I could get a good night's sleep tonight, and then I took like an hour-long nap after work. So we'll see how this goes. I should have plenty of energy for the podcast.
Should
and then we'll see what happens afterwards. But yeah, so as we mentioned, last night was Oscar night, the 95th annual Academy Awards. For those of you that are new to Apathetic Enthusiasm or have not caught one of our Oscar specials in the past, let me run down for you what makes me and Brandon so different when it comes to the Academy Awards. I have a tendency to watch the telecast of the award show every year, if possible, if available. And Brandon doesn't. He doesn't care to watch it, really. He will occasionally look up who wins a day or two later if we're talking about it on the podcast. But otherwise, I don't know, like, did you have any particular interest or enthusiasm about any of the nominees in this year's award categories?
I didn't pay too much attention to award season this year. I knew that Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to be a contender. And
it'll be a contender.
I kind of felt like, yeah, I saw the movie I needed to see. And
the one.
And that's good. I also heard good stuff about All Quiet on the Western Front. And when that came out, I was interested in seeing that. And I had it on my Netflix queue for a long time. And I kept being interested in watching it at like 11, 12 at night. And I knew that that was a long movie.
Yeah.
And maybe that wasn't a good time to start a movie like that. And it's in German as well. So you need to read that subtitles and all that.
So then you're reading that movie.
Go ahead.
I have a tendency, a practice that I like to participate in, where once all of the Best Picture nominees are announced, which is usually, I don't know, like a couple months before or like a month and a half before the actual award show, I will try to catch all those movies. I'll watch as many of them as I can so that before the award show, I have my own personal biases of what movies I liked and didn't like or things that I liked about them. Going into the awards this year, I was too busy running. So I happened to catch Top Gun Maverick because everybody watched that movie.
That's right.
And I think that was it. Despite several of these movies being readily available on streaming platforms and others breaking box office records, I saw no other movie from the Best Picture category to include, and I know this brings great shame upon me and my family, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I have every intention of watching this movie.
Have they seen it? That's your family
no,
seen
no,
it?
You no, nobody, oh, okay. nobody okay. in my family seen it. No hot dog fingers at all in this household. I have not watched All Quiet on the Western Front. Avatar The Way of Water, I haven't had the hours in my schedule to budget for that. The Banshees of Inisherin. I don't speak Scottish, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's got what's his face?
Colin Farrell.
And Brendan Gleeson. Gleeson?
Yeah. He's in Best Supporting Actor category. Let me scroll up for a moment while I stall for time.
Yeah, because they were in that one Hitman movie together too.
That's Brendan Gleeson.
And that's in the same director also.
Yeah. It looked interesting. I mean, like, it looked like it could have been an interesting film. Elvis has been available on HBO Max for months.
Oh, that was nominated, huh?
Yeah, for Best Picture, in fact.
Really?
The Fabelmans, Steven Spielberg's semi-autobiographical film, looks really interesting to me. Been a fan of Spielberg for a long time, so I'd like to watch that. Tar, I knew nothing about. Zero. We talked about Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness. This is a movie about like the ultra wealthy and everything goes wrong on some sort of pleasure cruise for them. And then Women Talking.
That was nominated for Best Picture?
It was.
Huh.
Yeah.
Kelsey watched that and she was like,
And then Women Talking was the last film nominated in the Best Picture category. So a lot of buzz And I kind of came into it like not sure. I heard nothing but good things about Everything Everywhere All at Once. So I figured it was going to be a favorite. Brendan Fraser has had a lot of buzz throughout award seasons. His resurgency, his comeback into stardom and his acting. Like,
hiatus. His
performance in The Whale, was getting a lot of buzz. So I figured he had a good shot at things, but didn't really know what to expect.
This was a year of actors who'd been away for a while coming back and winning the big prize.
Before we go over, we're not gonna go over every award because we're not gonna do a three and a half hour podcast the actual award show was. I do want to talk a little bit about the award show itself. I felt like it was a bit of a return to form, return to like the classics. It was very they didn't go over the top with too many things or try to do anything overly unique. Jimmy Kimmel was the host this year.
I've heard of him.
Heard of Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah. The Man Show with Adam Carolla.
That's right. What he's most famous for. There were no girls jumping on trampolines the entire broadcast. So he's really grown up. There was a giant cocaine bear, though. So, I mean, but I thought his monologue was funny. Called out the slap heard around the world from last year's Oscars with Will Smith and Chris Rock. It was present, the fact that happened last year, but it wasn't, I don't think it took away from the show in any way. They were able to kind of laugh at it without, I don't know, making it too big of a thing, I guess. So,
okay.
I thought, yeah, it, although there was one bit at the very end, as soon as the show was over, Kimmel walks off stage and there's a giant sign that says, Oscars presentations without an incident. And he like flips the zero to a one and then like walks off stage. So yeah, that was good. I thought the show was funny.
That's a good bit.
It was a solid bit.
It's a good wait 3 hours for a good bit type of bit, you know?
Oh yeah. No, he loves to talk about how long the Oscars are. So he made a lot of funny like one-liners about how long it would be, to include wrapping up the show with saying, and join us for Good Morning America, which is already in progress or something like that. And yeah, just stuff like that. It was funny. Good presenters. There weren't any like major like snafus or moments where, I don't know, like shocking, like news grabbing type stuff. So without those distractions, it really just made it about the films and the actors and the performances and things like that. So there were some great musical performances as well. You had Rihanna, you had Lady Gaga, and then are you familiar with this movie RRR?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you watched it?
I've watched parts of it. Yeah, I'm familiar with RRR.
It's been sitting for a while in my Netflix queue upon a recommendation from a pal, Matt Thompson, giving him a name drop on the podcast. But yeah, so that song from RRR actually won.
Oh, good.
In the category. But they had a great, and I'm going to look, it's called Natu Natu. But yeah, and they had like a great performance where they did like, sort of like Bollywood style dance and everything like on stage and everything. It was really cool. So, maybe I should watch the movie. But anyway, great performances, good stuff. And yeah, Oscars. Love it.
That sounds great. That sounds
Everything Everywhere All at Once won every award.
In Memoriam was great. You know,
it was tasteful.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Anne Heche. They missed her. And also a comedian that died this year was missing too. Leslie Jordan, I think. Leslie something like that.
Nielsen.
No. Like, I think it's Leslie Jordan. But anyway, yeah.
They put up a lot of QR codes this year. Every time they went to a commercial break, they're like, for more information on this, scan the QR code. And so at the end of In Memoriam, they said, for a longer list of everyone being honored, scan the QR code. So, like, to see all the people that died that we didn't put on the broadcast, pull out your phone, go up to your TV, and scan this funky barcode.
Why don't they just make the screen and put everybody on the screen?
While Lenny Kravitz is playing the piano?
Are you going to go my way?
Yeah, that's the song he did. It was really, I don't know. It didn't seem right at first, but...
And then his drummer with like the fro, the badass fro. You remember her from the video?
Yeah. And he's like on the is he like on the trailer or whatever? Yeah. Like,
and her is just like, whoop, and she's like kicking ass. And meanwhile, like 2023,
Angela Lansbury,
82 to 90. That's cool.
I will say the person that came out to introduce the In Memoriam segment was what's his name?
Dead
from Greece.
Oh, John Travolta. John Travolta. Yeah.
And John Travolta famously has an Oscar flub where he messed up. Why can't I think? I can only think of the wrong way he said it. Adele Dazeem. Her name? I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, look it up because I don't remember her
Idina
name.
Menzel. Thank you. But yeah, so because she was singing, I think, a song from Frozen, and he messed that up. And so I think people were watching him. I know me and my wife were watching him very closely as he was talking. And there was a moment when he started to stumble over his words. And we're kind of like, uh-oh, here we go. But then we realized that he was getting very emotional because he was talking about his co-star from Greece, Olivia Newton-John, who mm-hmm. was the first picture that they put up. And I realized that he was getting very emotional talking about her. So he even did a great job despite being overcome with emotions. I think my
favorite presenter that I saw was Hugh Grant. Before he went inside to the before he even actually presented, where he gave that poor reporter on the beige carpet,
on the red carpet,
yeah,
or on the champagne carpet,
yeah, like gave her such, was such an asshole to
her. Didn't know what to say to him, and he's like, she's like, well, what are you working on? He's like, I don't know, nothing, I'm just here. Like, and then he comes out to present the actual award. And he says that he looks like a scrotum. he said that it was a good indicator of the importance of like skin cream or something. Because
what a dick. I know that like when he was talking to her, he made a comment about the Vanity Fair, right? And had I been in that position and I was nervous, I can admit that I would have been like, I would have also thought of Vanity Fair, the magazine, because I'm American and I'm stupid. Yeah. Right. But when she's like, oh yeah, it's like a cool place to hang out. And then he's like, looks at her with such disdain. That poor woman. Anyway, Hugh Grant.
Andy McDowell looks great. Hugh Grant looks like a scrotum. His words, not mine. Running through the categories real quick. Brendan Fraser completed his official comeback, winning actor in a leading role. Emotional acceptance speech, but he threw in a bunch of whale puns or like aquatic puns. Did you watch his acceptance speech?
I didn't, no.
Like, it could have been really emotional and like charged, but like, it just kind of got weird because he's talking about like breathing tubes up to the surface and like all this stuff. And I was just like, okay, I get where you're going, but it didn't land.
Was he joking?
Like, no, he was like really passionate about it.
Maybe that's why he's been gone for so long.
Encino Man won an ass. Yeah, won an Oscar.
Good on him. Welcome back.
Mummy 5, is that his next project? We can only hope. Fingers crossed. No. Kay Hwai Kwan, I'm probably butchering the name, but yeah. Short Round from Temple of Doom and from Goonies fame. On the flip side, he won in the supporting role category. And his acceptance speech was just very heartfelt, very much just like an outpour of appreciation and love for talking about his story of being a refugee and coming to this country and getting his start very early, but continuing to stick with it. It was really inspiring. And it was one of the first awards of the night. So it was just a great way to sort of start off the awards and, I don't know, it was great and very cool to see him and win that award.
Yeah, it was very touching. I watched his speech. I went to Twitter immediately and just wanted to see what he had to say. And yeah, it was very, very touching. And like calling out his wife you know, him saying like, she kept saying, your time will come.
Yeah.
So that was really, really cool to see. And, you know, like that movie is. I mean, we'll go into the movie here in a minute, but yeah, it's good to see him win. Also, he was in an Encino Man with
that's right, the Encino connection.
That's right. Pauly Shore tweeted shouting them both out.
That's awesome. There was a joke in the monologue about Pauly Shore being disgruntled last night because he wasn't there. You know. Or getting his recognition.
I was also seeing the memes out there today being like, it's Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones costume. And it says, Harrison Ford here pictured with an Oscar winner. it's him with Short Round back in the day.
I would have saved this for the Best Picture category, but seeing as you brought up Harrison Ford, who came out to announce Best Picture, when Everything Everywhere All at Once won Best Picture. Typically Best Picture category, all of the cast comes up, writers, directors, producers come up. And it was a moment that I wasn't like expecting, but when the cast comes up, like immediately, Kay Hwai Kwan comes and like hugs Harrison Ford, like right at the, and I just a strike of emotion. I was just like, like that's like they did the movie together. Like, I don't know. It was I didn't even like connect it. Like, obviously they had to have that kind of planned maybe a little bit. But that was just super sweet to see.
What did Harrison go in for it, too? Did they both go in?
No. Yeah. It? Like he wrapped around. He didn't like bro hug or throw the shoulder.
It wasn't like, hey,
like, who is this guy?
Hey, back up. I don't know you.
No, it was very sweet. Very, very sweet moment.
Yeah, I thought about that. Like, you know, if you're the cast of, you know, the creators behind Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Harrison Ford is the one presenting the award, you have to be like, come on.
Yeah.
It's us, clearly, right? All right, everybody, we agree with this. Otherwise, it'd be such a dick move.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Speaking of, not speaking of dick move, but anti dick move. So one of the winners from Everything Everywhere All at Once was Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right. Actress in a supporting role.
Oscar winning actress. And I saw the picture, the video of what's her face from Black Panther? Vivica?
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett, yeah. Just so pissed off with, she's like, just so, you know, whatever mood she was in, like maybe she's sad. Maybe she's very happy and she was just like, I knew I was going to win, or maybe, you know, but I know that she was robbed for What's Love Got to Do With It back in the day. Definitely. And so, you know, she's one of those actors that is due, and eventually she's going to get it for a movie that is not her best movie, but they're like, well, it's her time now. Let's go ahead and give it to her.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis has been in the industry for a very long time. She has done a lot of movies that you would not traditionally think would be like Oscar worthy. Talking again about the Saturday Night Live from this weekend, there was an Oscar sketch to open the show, and they did an impression of Jamie Lee Curtis, who's like talking about how I used to sell yogurt and now I'm up here at the Oscars or whatever. And then her actual acceptance speech gave the exact same energy from the SNL sketch of the impression of her. So it's just, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. But I think it was a packed category. The supporting role and leading role categories were both pretty packed. Along with Jamie Lee Curtis, Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once, taking the Oscar in that category, locking up three of the four categories of the main acting categories for Everything Everywhere All at Once. You move into some of the other indicators of what your best picture is going to be. Your screenplays, right? You got adapted and original screenplays. I think this was an original screenplay, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so.
But they won in that category. Then they won in directing. The same writing and directing team won. So then you're just kind of like, all right, like this is gonna win, right? So, yeah, and sure enough, they did. So, I don't know. It's a good show. I should probably watch this movie. Is really the bottom line.
You should. When one of my friends, Kyle Raimondo, he saw it in theaters when it came out. He's like, dude, have you not seen the movie yet? I'm like, no, I haven't seen the movie yet. Is the movie so good? The movie's just so good. I'm like, is it good? Why is it good? He's like, it's just so good. And I'm like, all right, I'll watch it. And I watched it and I thought, man, that movie's so good. It's a good multiverse movie. It's a very great multiverse movie, better than any of the Marvel multiverse movies. I think you'll really enjoy it. Hot dog fingers and all.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
And even with the hot dog fingers, there's still so much emotion behind the hot dog fingers that you're like, how am I going to like have any kind of like tear up or have any emotion about a world where people have hot dog fingers in this really just absurd situation? And it works. It works. And yeah. I think that is reflected in their Oscar wins.
That's great. Yeah, I had a feeling for even before it started, just because of all the buzz around that movie, that it was a contender for Best Picture, like a favorite. Honestly, during the show, All Quiet on the Western Front was winning a lot of the mid-show awards, as I would call it. Like, it's picking up cinematography,
sound
it's picking
design.
Up like production design, like you know, a lot of those like types, like editing or something.
Yeah.
Now that Everything Everywhere All at Once won that one too. International feature film. It apparently won as well, because it's German film.
Yeah.
Music. It won a best score, right? So it won a lot of things in the middle where I was like, oh, is this possibly like a dark horse But sure enough. Everything everywhere all at once.
Just like World War One. It came out of nowhere. And then it ended. And things.
Yeah. And then 3 hours later, it was over.
I want to talk about All Quiet on the Western Front. I know you didn't watch it. It is on Netflix. You can check it out there. And so I did finally watch it. I started at night, not quite at midnight, not quite at one. I started at like 9 or 10. Got about halfway through it, and then I started getting sleepy. And I was like, okay, no, I'll finish it up in the morning. I finished it up, and I will say that is a. It's visceral. It's graphic. It's very demoralizing. It's like, you know, we're American. And so our view of world history, especially World War One, World War Two, like the Germans were the bad guys. Right. And All Quiet on the Western Front is from the perspective of German soldiers in World War One, and they're in like trench warfare, like the story. I don't know if you ever read the book in high school. I never read it in high school. But it's these four friends in Germany. They go to the front lines. They're doing trench warfare. And it's just awful. It's just so awful. But it's a very good movie. It's like the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, but more.
but hours long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely want to check it out. After watching the Academy Awards, I think that's definitely one I need to go back and watch. Obviously Everything Ever All at Once, The Fablemans, I still want to check out. What were the other ones that I might give that Netflix Pinocchio animated movie a shot? Oh, Guillermo del Toro, because that one best animated, and I didn't expect much of that. So I like that movie.
Okay. I like that Pinocchio movie. Chelsea wasn't a fan of it. I liked it all right.
My son was very passionate about that category because it was like the very first category of the night. and he loves the Puss in Boots movie that just came out.
Puss in Boots.
so he was really fighting for that one. I have to check out Fablemans. I will probably watch Elvis. Avatar, I will probably wait until it lands on Disney Plus sometime in 2028. Triangle of Sadness, I'll take or leave it. Women Talking sounds kind of interesting to me.
That's with Mel Gibson, right? Where you can hear what they're thinking.
Yeah, that's the one. No, that's with Frances McDormand. It's about women in like a colonial town that had to make some sort of democratic decision amongst themselves. And how they're going to be represented in the town or something like that. And so they're sent out to like the outskirts of town to make that decision. And so I think it's probably very, very much like story driven and,
she's great.
Anyway,
she's great. I watched Burn After Reading again the other day. Such a good movie.
Classic. Last couple of notes, despite Top Gun Maverick being the arguable movie that got us back into the movie theaters, Tom Cruise did not show up to the Academy Awards. Same with James Cameron. Even though his film was nominated for Best Picture, probably because he was not nominated in like a directing category, he opted to not come to the awards. So spicy stuff.
Speaking of spicy stuff, if we're done with the Oscars,
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about Hot Ones. It's the show with hot wings and even hotter questions, or hot questions and even hotter wings.
Let's talk about Hot Ones real fast. I'll just make a little marker here in my thing jig. All right, Hot Ones. So you told me about the Pedro Pascal Hot Ones.
So good.
I watched it. So good. He seems like such a nice guy.
The content that was missing from our Pedro Pascal spectacular episode from the last Apathetic Enthusiasm.
I know. He was really good. He's going into those wings. I was impressed by
clean of the bone. Just like you have some people that are like just like nibble, nibble. Yeah. Let me just lick the wing. And he's just like, oh,
yeah. Even miserable, he's still doing it.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And he finished like a champ. Two observations that I had was one, like his facial hair. I pay attention to people's facial hair a lot more nowadays. And I'm like,
I wonder why.
And I'm like, yeah. He's got some patchy ass facial hair. And I'm like, Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
For the audio listeners, Brandon also has patchy ass facial hair.
That's the first one. And the second one, I shot you the clip of what I loved him saying. Towards the end of it, they're talking about him being raised a little bit in Texas, doing some Tex-Mex, and then Southern California. And then he moved to New York. And when he was up in New York, there people would be like, oh, there's really good Mexican food up here. And he just is like, no. Nah, it's not
true. There's no good Mexican. There's no good Mexican
food. There's no good Mexican food in New York City. Come at me. Yep. And
gauntlet like, thrown down. And he was wonderful. You know if that. If you haven't watched it, for starters, I am shocked by how many people don't watch Hot Ones. At all. Just in the last month, I've talked about that show with a lot of people and they're like, what is Hot Ones? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, head out to YouTube on First We Feasts YouTube channel. Check out Hot Ones. It's a wonderful concept with some tremendous interviews.
Yeah.
And you get to see celebrities in pain as they eat spicy wings.
That dude, can we just, I forget the host's name.
Sean, yeah, I'll look it
okay,
up.
Okay, he, how many of these sauces does he go through? And he is like unfazed by any of it. Does he? I haven't looked it up. Like, does he not have capsaicin sensors in his fucking lips? He
definitely does. It's Sean Evans. Props to Sean Evans and the awesome show that he's got going. One of the ones I recently watched, he was definitely feeling the hot wings toward the end. Yeah, I would assume he's more desensitized to it, especially after doing, I don't know how many episodes they've done now. Like, I'm trying to see if it says it on like IMDb.
His stomach, man. Like, iron
295 episodes they've done.
God.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got to be used to it a little bit, but, and the way he keeps his composure where he's like eating the wing and then he's like, let me ask you a really complicated question. you know, about your Instagram or something. But no, he does a great job. He's a great host. He just seems really genuine and fun. I'm tempted to buy their packets of sauces, and just because some of them look really good. I don't know about like the last dab and everything. The bomb just seems like it'll melt your face.
Don't need to do that. The one that we talked about, it was supposed to be, it was like stepping up. And then it was like kind of a step down. And he's like, just take it. You know, like when we get a free one where there's a step down and spicy, just take it. I'm interested in that flavor. I forget which one it was, but it was like, it wasn't a red sauce. It was kind of like a gravy-ish, but
gravy sauce. Yeah. anyway, yeah, check out Pedro Pascal on Hot Ones. It's great. The whole show is great. Look at us. Who'd have thought? Not me. All right, moving on. So if you stayed up late and watched the Oscars, then you may have missed out on the season finale of another Pedro Pascal show, which was The Last of Us. We talked about it at length in the last episode, but they ran their 42-minute season finale. Without getting into too many details, Brandon, just quick thoughts. How did you feel about the finale? Did you think it was a good culmination for the season, or any expectations for the show in the future?
I thought it felt a little rushed, maybe. I felt like it could have had a little bit more room to breathe. I liked it. I liked it. I think that some of the, you know, the latter half of the episode, I don't necessarily think that it fully captured what they had intended to capture with it. Yeah. You know, without going into spoiler territory, I think there was supposed to be more of a conflicted feel as to the resolution. Like, did the characters do what was right, or did the characters do what was wrong in those moments? And I don't know if the conundrum was clearly presented. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought that the episode had really I liked some amazing sequences in it. I thought that the intro to the episode was really well done, with the actress who actually plays Ellie in the video game, playing that character at the beginning of the episode. And then Joel's sort of crusade through the latter part of the episode to try and get back to Ellie, I thought was pretty intense and pretty awesome. But from that point on, I felt like the show kind of stalled out a little bit. And I think I was expecting some other big reveal or something big to happen. And Sheena did too. Because she read a spoiler, and I refused to let her tell me said spoiler. So then the show kind of ended more abruptly than we expected, and that kind of just left her expecting more and frustrated that she's now going to have to carry the secret with her for a couple years, potentially, depending on how long HBO's production schedule is.
It's going to be a while, yeah.
The episode ended. I just refused to talk to her for that entire time. So
the episode ended.
Them's the breaks.
How the game ended. The first game ended. That's like it was pretty, you know, pretty true to how the first game ended, with like I swear, and then cutting to black. Right. What I was interested to read today was, and maybe this came out before, but I only read it today, was whereas this season represented the first game, they're going to make the follow-on seasons representing the second game more into the, it won't be just one season next season, it'll be multiple seasons.
They'll expand that out. If you got a good thing and everybody loves your show, you gotta milk that for everything it's worth.
You gotta And so the spoilers that Sheena had read, those are not until the second game even starts. So, you know, she's got to wait. She's got to wait. And she can't tell you what happens, which is It was all about Super Mario Brothers, you know?
Yeah. Can't wait for that Super Mario Brothers.
Can't wait. can't wait.
Anyway, it's a great season. Again, if you haven't watched it, if you didn't stay up super late to watch both the Oscars and that, or maybe you skipped the Oscars. I don't know. I don't know what you do in your life.
I don't know.
Check it out. The one last topic that we have to discuss with whatever remaining time there is the eventual overthrow by our AI overlords. Brandon, what's on your mind in a segment we call Brandon's AI Minute?
Oh, here we go.
Where's the robot button?
Brandon's AI Minute.
Okay. Brandon's AI. Maybe I should do this.
Brandon's AI Minute. Coming to you live.
Okay. Brandon's AI Minute. I'm working from home currently.
Sure.
And I listen to Spotify a lot. I just always on Spotify, listening to the same playlist over and over again. And then being like, I listened to this song, these series of songs so many times. Okay, it's time.
Like, is your Spotify Wrapped just like the same thing every year?
Basically, like yeah. And so I rotate in between albums that I've listened to hundreds of times already. So I'm like, I went through like a Radiohead kick where I've been like listening to In Rainbows and then OK Computer and then The Bends and then go back and like, OK, well, now let me listen to Block Party and I'll listen to Silent Alarm. I'll listen to their latest one with is like Traps or whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, let me go to Pink Floyd. I go to Pink Floyd. Oh, let me go to my Steely Dan playlist. OK, well, let me go to my punk playlist. Like, and just lots of same songs. Anyways. Well, how does that relate to AI? Well, today on my phone, I got a little notification. It was like Spotify is like, hey, why don't you try out our AI DJ? Our AI DJ will pick music for you or whatever. Like, all right, I'm going to listen to music anyway.
I got nothing to lose here.
And so I started playing it. And it's interesting because if it's not a real person, it sounds like a real person. And he's like, hey, I'm your DJ. I'm going to be playing some music for you based off your playlist before. Looks like, you know, hey, you've got some face to face on here. Let's play some face to face. And then it'll like go into that playlist. And then
like it audibly talks to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a
wild.
It's like a personal DJ.
And, like an actual like radio DJ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, if you want to change the playlist or you don't like what you're hearing, you know, there's a DJ button on your phone. Just press that and then I'll switch it up for you. And so I got into a playlist so long and I was like, all right, let's switch it up. And it switched to, he's like, all right, you know, you're not in a punk mood. Let's go to an indie. Let's take you to like some indie and we'll start you off with one of your bands, Foster the People. We'll get you started off with that. And then I went Foster the People and I went to like some other bands like Phoenix and stuff like that. And he's like, all right, hey, you know what? One of your favorite songs back way in like 2017 was by a band Blue Oyster Cult. So let's go ahead and play some of Blue Oyster Cult. Then it played Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult. Okay, so those are like songs I know. But yeah. Something that I wasn't expecting, and I don't know if this was intended or not. I was working, typing away, da 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 da, just typing, and the music was going. And at some point in time, I realized that there was music playing that I hadn't heard before. That, you know, normally when you hear a new song, you're like, you're kind of taken out of the moment. You're like, huh, oh, there's a new song. I don't know if I like that, whatever.
Sure.
But these songs were just playing and like, oh, hey. That's a cool song. All right. Go back into it. Like there was like LCD Sound System was playing. I don't know too much LCD Sound System. There was a couple Daft Punk songs that I had never heard before. And like some random punk songs that I'd never heard of. I'm like, oh, that's a really good jam. But anyways, so I don't know if that was like AI, like looking at the music, going into like the music and like finding out like chord progressions that sound good to me, based off of my history, like melodies and harmonies and all that type of stuff. But there's a part of me that's like, maybe that's kind of what it's looking into.
I would hope if that is the case, like that's really cool in terms of the AI getting down to that level. I would hope it's not just like using an algorithm to randomly stab at different genre tracks and be like, this genre matches, throw it in there, right? Like there's definitely some deeper learning that it could find. And because, especially when you use Spotify for a long time, it knows types of music or type like areas of genres that you really like. It wasn't an AI DJ because I haven't been offered an AI DJ yet. I don't probably have the same number of hours in Spotify that you have cataloged. But I built a couple of random playlists where it was like, I need to go on this long run. Let me listen to some classic rock. And I just search in the search area, classic rock playlist. And you have a couple like pre-built ones. And there's one that said built for you, classic rock. And classic rock is a very broad genre, especially depending on, you know, what decades and generations you're including in that. But I was like, let's give it a shot. And I started playing it. And because I've listened to like a bunch of yacht rock playlists and different like it had more of that kind of vibe towards classic. But then again, like with the Pink Floyd and some other bands, things like that. So it kind of took a sampling from other music that I've listened to in the past. And I would honestly be curious if even if I like picked up a different classic rock playlist, the songs that I would like skip versus the ones that I would listen to more than once. There's gotta be something in their system that's like, no, this is a song that he likes versus, you know, so really cool that they have an actual AI DJ that's communicating those songs to you, to where you could, if you're sitting there typing away, maybe he introduces an artist or an album that you're not familiar with, and so you can actually hear it too, or it calls your attention to it.
Yeah, and it does like little things, like you listen to the radio station, you listen to like Sirius XM, and the DJ comes on, and it's like doesn't come on in between every song, right? Like every four or five songs, and then introduces like the next song by saying like an example was it went into talking about The Chain by Fleetwood Mac, and he's like, here's a song by Fleetwood Mac, Chain. Here's a little trivia. This is the only song on that album that is accredited to all of the five original members of that of the band during that time. And then it started playing the Chain. I'm like,
it's funny how things go full circle, right? Because when we were teenagers, or you know, even like, you know, early 20s. Like the radio was so important in like music discovery, right? Because you could go to a record store, you could buy CDs. Eventually you had access to things like Napster and things like that, right? But to discover new music, to discover songs and artists that you didn't know, but kind of like match your genre, you were listening to the radio. Or you're going to shows and seeing a band open for another band that you liked. You're like, oh, okay, I like them too. But, and I mean, I obviously, I like MTV and stuff like that, but eventually they stopped playing music altogether. But the fact that as streaming services have become more and more prevalent, that discoverability, it's easy to miss, right? Unless you're open to, hey, here's some Spotify generated playlist. Here's their new, you know, up and coming artists in indie or punk or whatever, or rock. Unless you're listening to those, it's very easy to just get into listening to the same music that you've always liked, and you just kind of replay those playlists and go through. So I think that's really interesting that they've literally duplicated the radio model using AI.
Yeah.
And they're now exposing you to new stuff or stuff that you were less familiar with that you potentially could be interested in. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's the push versus pull of music discovery, where like it takes effort. It takes mental effort, especially as you get older, to want to try new things and to discover new things. And if you want to go out and discover new things, you have to mentally say, go out and be unfamiliar with what you're going to be listening to. Go experience it. And there's a wall. There's a natural wall there that happens. If you are getting pushed something, if you're just like kind of passively, and it's just like in the background, and it's like you're not seeking it out, but it's being given to you, I think that is that's a different way of receiving that information. And I like a song that plays on random that I've never heard before is different than me seeking, be like, let me look at this random ass band. I don't know. It's harder. It takes more effort to put energy into something versus let it happen to you.
I think it's really cool. Until you have a music obsessed teen like I do, that's the only other way I discover new artists that I'm like, oh wow, this, like, I actually like this band. Thank you for playing them. I will continue to play them in my car. Thank you. But yeah, it's that's cool. Hopefully everything else goes in that direction, and we'll get AI video recommendations on Netflix, and you can get AI podcast recommendations for your podcast.
That's right.
All that stuff. Yeah. And if you could do me a favor and build me like a 4.5 hour long playlist, I got a big run coming up in about a month and a half.
I'll work on it. My largest playlist is Amsterdam, and it's 36 hours of music.
I've been thinking about sitting down and like building out a playlist of songs, and the idea is so daunting that I just can't get myself to do it. And so then I'm like, maybe I'll just make a playlist that exists. And then as I'm listening to music, I need to be like, ooh, add to playlist. Oh, this is a good song. Add this one to playlist. And then eventually over time it will grow. It'll have like 4 songs in it. And I'll listen to the same 4 songs for 4 hours.
That's all it is, man. That's all it is. Hear a song, like, add that to the list. There's another song, add it to the list. And then eventually you're like, sometimes they take them off.
36 too. Hours long.
Sometimes they take songs off too. And so thankfully Spotify got into the system where it will tell you if you have a repeat on there now. It didn't used to do that. So I would have 2 different versions of Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage on there. Because I would forget that I had it on that playlist because the playlist is so large. But now it'll be like, are you sure you want to put this on here? And I'll say, no. Not yet.
One and done.
Anyway. All right.
AI is taking over the future. It's going to make your album art generated too. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
All right. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much to everybody for hanging out, for listening. If you like this show, let us know. You can rate and review it on your podcatcher of choice. If you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to this channel for all of our video content. And if you're watching on Twitch, subscribe, follow, do all those things. But definitely stick around for the Twitch only post show. We're going to be hanging out and talking about, more AI and anything else that we can think of. Before we fall asleep due to daylight savings time. Thanks again to everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you.
Bye.
We
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.